Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, this is Gwen Berry in South Florida, and this is Mic Check Friday, Occupy Everywhere on Hear Me Monsters. We're part of a drum line that's out there drumming the information out. We're basically doing our very best to speak truth to power, and though we're not the real deal in training, we know how to tell the truth, and we're getting pretty damn good at researching the facts because we're living them. And I have to tell you, it's another one of them VAR weeks. Listen to this stuff. Just take a listen. This is the first salvo out there.
And then there is this.
What would a Romney presidency be like? Day one. President Romney immediately approves the Keystone Pipeline, creating thousands of jobs that Obama blocked. President Romney introduces tax cuts and reforms that reward job creators, not punish them. President Romney issues order to begin replacing Obamacare with common sense health care reform. That's what a Romney presidency will be like.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Of course he does. That's the first one out of the canon, I guess, professionally done for Mr. Romney against Mr. Obama. Well, President Obama. It's going to be that kind of year. Jeez. We have a lot to get to. The first thing I'd like to read off to you and start out on a positive note here is a quote by Mary Gutierrez, Mercy Now. And I quote, "Every living thing could use a little mercy now. Only the hand of grace can end the race towards another mushroom cloud. People in power, well, they'll do anything to keep their crown. I love life, and life itself could use some mercy now." Yeah, we could all use a little mercy now. I know we don't deserve it, but we need it anyhow. We hang in the balance and dangle between hell and hallowed ground. Every single one of us could use some mercy now. And that's the truth. So first up, I hope everybody's noticing that Joe Biden, as well as Mitt Romney, pushed away reporters from questioning them at their activities this week. Romney down here, Biden, I can't even remember where. We're going to start out, as we usually do here, with the local Occupy Palm Beach County events, the Rush Limbaugh protest that is going on right this very minute out at the Clear Channel, where good buddy Nicole Sandler is inside, can't take part in this because she is right now on Clear Channel standing in for Randy Rhoads. So she knew about this one, though, because I hipped her to it. Clear Channel and his hatred of women, Rush Limbaugh. Women is, his hatred for women is being bad business. So Occupy Palm Beach County has asked to join hands with Credo's Take Down Alan West campaign, which they are also protesting right this very minute. And now, Palm Beach County, this Friday, today, to protest very strongly against this anti-feminine, anti-feminist, anti-women views. It started right now in front of the Clear Channel building, and it's going to last for roughly 2 hours. I believe they did get the permits to do this. So, if you want to know where it is, and you're listening on your headset or whatever, this is a protest that's taking place at the intersection of 45th Street and Congress Avenue. It's just east of I-95. It isn't hard to find downtown at all. Rush Limbaugh has said that women who want birth control are sluts, and him and his trembling jowls have gone after Sandra Fluke, the Georgetown grad student who was denied the right to testify at the House Oversight Committee's hearing on contraceptives. He called her a big fat slut, a whore, a harlot, a big-time prostitute. he had no right to do that. And so he should lose. He should lose a lot more than just what he's lost already. So, okay. Today we're going to call in a guest to discuss with us the disruption of the G8 at Camp David and the NATO summit from Chicago the Chicago arrests. But before we go to that, there's one other local thing that I want to play, and I have a little bitty recording for. On May 22nd, Occupy Palm Beach County has got an event going on, Friends of Occupy Palm Beach County, and in organized labor, the ones who are part of organized labor have learned that Wall Street banks are putting the screws to the Palm Beach County School District, reaping exorbitant profits at the expense of our schools and the young people who attend them. The complicated deals behind this travesty are typical of the financial games that, in 2008, brought down the U.S. economy. You know, we got us a disaster capitalism game going on. It's the ruin of our youth, and it's the dumbing down of our children. Palm Beach, you know, if you listen to people like Santorum and other conservatives, they wish to keep people from school now. They would rather see them trained for some sort of trade, which can only be service-oriented in this country at this point, unless you're someone, a little mom-pop thing like me, a little mom-pop business who makes for yourself, a maker. Anyways, Palm Beach County schools have seen dramatic funding reductions over the last 4 years, with little indication that things are going to get better anytime soon. That isn't stopping Wall Street from gorging on the children. The opening salvo in the campaign to right this wrong begins at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, May 22nd. That's next week, when School District Finance Committee holds a public meeting at the Fulton Holland Educational Service Center. Now, that's 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, May 22nd, when the School District Finance Committee is going to hold a public meeting at the Fulton Holland Educational Center. The Finance Committee is on the defensive on this issue, but it has agreed to permit SEIU and FPSU to address the committee before it gives its recommendation to the school board, which is more open to passing a resolution calling for renegotiating the deals. No public comment will be permitted at the meeting, but a show of strength by the 99% will put the committee and the school board on notice. For the sake of our children, we demand that the banksters do the right thing and renegotiate these deals. It's pretty awful. I do have a little clip to play right now concerning this, because Occupy Philly is going through school closings, as well as Occupy New York, OWS, Occupy Wall Street, and they are doing a great deal of protest and demonstration against this. Just take a listen for a moment here.
And this would be Occupy Philadelphia, a little piece on what's going on there.
On May 15th, hundreds of students, parents, teachers, elected officials, and members of Occupy Philly rallied against a proposed radical restructuring of the Philadelphia public school system. Activists like 16-year-old Philadelphia high school student Cheyenne Williams say public schools already are plagued by years of budget cuts.
Our classes are already crowded, and the hallways are crowded. It's drama, it's bullies every day, and it's just ridiculous. Like, and there's not even that many students in my school. It's only 9th and 10th graders, but it seems like so much. So when they pack more students into the school, it's just going to make it worse. These kids are our future. Like, and without them, we wouldn't have no future. They don't have stuff they need for schooling. They don't have books and computers and is already different because in the suburban area school, they get 21,000, and in the lower class, they get 11,000 per student. Like, it's crazy.
In order to deal with the massive budget shortfall, the Philadelphia School Reform Commission has proposed a dramatic restructuring, which would include closing dozens of schools and laying off hundreds of workers while expanding charter schools.
Naomi Klein coined the term the shock doctrine to describe the situation in which disasters, perceived or real, man-made or natural, are exploited in order to do complete overhauls of the public good for private gain. And that's definitely what we've seen in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia parent activist Helen Gim says the city's fiscal crisis is being used as an excuse to privatize one of the country's largest public school systems for corporate profit.
We're looking at massive school closures in Philadelphia. It's 25% of our schools in the next 5 years, 64 schools, 40 alone next year, 40% of students into charter, and the rest of the schools divided into networks managed by third-party operators. I mean, it is the quintessential example of shock doctrine tactics.
Absolutely.
Also opposing plans to privatize more public schools is Occupy Philly activist Justin Harrison, whose children attend charter schools.
I think it's a crime. I mean, first of all, it's no solution. I mean, there's a fundamental difference between a group of educators and a group of parents coming together with a vision for education and forming a charter school, which is sort of a promise, and the wholesale conversion of public schools, handing them over to private contractors, right? That's not a solution.
Harrison says privately run charter schools prevent parents from having an input into their children's education.
The downside of charter schools is that there's no democratic control. I mean, charter school, the accountability is to the board. You know, there's no due process for students in terms of discipline or as how the rules are supposed to work. There's no due process or democratic participation from families.
Another protester, public school teacher and activist Anissa Weingrove, says charter schools are part of a top-down approach to education reform that stifles grassroots community efforts to improve public education.
And so this whole myth that charter equals excellence, that's not true. And in fact, what we're saying in Philadelphia is there's greatness on the ground. There are so many good ideas with teachers, with students, with student organizing, with parent groups. And so if actually the way to transform our schools is not to shut them down or hand them over to the highest bidder, but to allow us the resources, stability, and commitment to actually be able to transform our schools from within.
When the state of Pennsylvania took control of Philadelphia's public schools in 2001, activists from across the city successfully waged a campaign to prevent the privatization of the entire school system. Such lessons give many, including Helen Gim, hope that public outrage will pressure Philadelphia to reject the system overhaul.
That didn't happen in 2001. We think it won't happen again this time around because the you know, people have wised up over a decade of false promises and hundreds of millions of dollars that have gone down the drain over this. So I don't think that people are going to be silent, and I think that it's important for public officials to recognize that.
Reporting for The Real News, this is Jessel Noor in Philadelphia.
I gotta tell you, if you didn't notice, my magic mouse on my new iMac just lost my page for me, and so I had to reboot in here. We're getting ready to call in a guest to speak about the next topic of conversation, which is basically about the arrests that were made in Chicago today, or yesterday morning, I think it was. Basically, putting people into
hello.
Can you hear me, Peggy?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we still together?
I think we're still here. Yes.
Good.
What you have to do is, if you've got your computer going, just mute the sound from the show.
I did.
Okay, cool. Jesus. And it's, listen, what is it that Diane calls this? And by the way, folks, don't forget at 6 p.m. today to go on over and listen to the Wild, Wild Left with Diane G. Here on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, this is Kitchen Sink Productions, so dogs barking and, you know, all kinds of snafus. I just actually rolled with my magic mouse off of the page, so Jesus, you just never know. It's a pleasure to have you on, Peggy. I'm glad you're here. Please tell me about the young man that you know who was arrested in Chicago.
Well, actually, now it's two young men, bless their hearts, and they're with Occupy Walk USA, and they're walking from San Diego to New York, spreading the word about Occupy. And they stayed here at my house for a week in April. We got snowed in. And before they even got to the actual NATO protests, two of them have already been arrested.
Oh, my. And does anybody know what for? What is
fairly ridiculous charges. One, supposedly for shoving a policeman off his bicycle.
Right.
And the other one for felony drugs. Now, I'm an old lady. These kids stayed in my house for a week. We were snowed in. I guarantee you, no one had felony drugs.
I think you would have figured it out for a week and snowed in conditions. Yeah, you would.
And it's a two-room cabin. I mean, believe me, we were lucky we weren't in each other's faces continuously.
Oh my goodness! How many was in the group that stayed with you?
Six were here at the time.
Wow. Wow, that's very generous. You're doing a good job, if nobody's told you recently, you know. That's doing a good job.
Well, it was fun to me, but believe me, I certainly got to know these young men pretty darn well in a week. And the idea that one would shove a policeman off his bicycle or the other one would possess heroin is just ridiculous.
Well, you know, we've been reading about the connection between Homeland Security and the police departments and the New York City Police Department and the CIA, and I don't think that there's any kind of mistaking that they're engineering these incidents to falsely arrest people so that they can break up whatever they can of protest events. And I don't think it's contained to America. I think it's going on abroad, too. It's just that Europeans don't put up with it. They'll, you know, and the cops over there are kind of scared of what their citizens will do, as a matter of fact, you know, I think, personally.
Well, I agree. And I definitely think that, which we all know, but that all the activist sites, for instance, on Facebook, are being monitored. Otherwise, how do they know where people are, you know, a week ahead of the protest?
Well, I think they're mostly active in monitoring Twitter. The Twitter is the preferred medium, I think, of the people on the streets, that it's so immediate. They don't have to deal with booting in and out the way they do with Facebook. Facebook is for evenings or when there's downtime. But when anything's going on or there's any activity, it's Twitter. Or you've watched the Global Vision, the Ustream?
Yes. Definitely that. Definitely,
yeah.
That. I don't happen to tweet, so I'm not that up on the Twitter part, but I'm sure you're correct that that's really where they're monitoring.
Oh, I have a program, which is another social network, actually, called Hootsuite, And it allows me to oversee certain rooms on Facebook that I want to look at, and all my Twitter accounts and all of this stuff, LinkedIn, everything. So I have...
Well...
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yeah.
The mountains out here are very problematic when it comes to staying connected.
You are doing really great. You're coming in loud and clear.
Okay. Well, I definitely, the thing that is bothering me is the actual NATO situation hasn't occurred yet. Whatever are they going to be doing as far as rounding up people on false pretenses once the real demonstrations begin?
I concur with your apprehension. I think you're right, Peggy. I think that things are going to get nasty again, and they've gotten nasty. We've seen the brutality. What really kills me is that people don't, well, of course, the mainstream media doesn't pay attention. It's just me and my kind. A little bit of attention from current TV, the Young Turks, perhaps. Certainly not anybody else, really, over there. Amy Goodman at Democracy Now! Is paying attention. And, of course, the rest falls down to folks like the Punk Patriot and Dennis Traynor, chroniclers that are independents, and myself and Diane and a lot of folks like us. There are thousands of us on the Internet doing these radio shows and beating the drum. I don't know if you're aware.
Oh, yes, I most certainly am, and thank heavens, because one would think by watching any television news that absolutely nothing was going on.
Well, people in the cities know. People in the large cities know that something's happening, and they know that they're not getting the news on it, and it's beginning to make certain people uncomfortable. Like, I have a friend who's a client through my business. She purchases homeopathy from me. And she is someone she's a pharmaceutical rep, actually, that goes to several of the West Coast and Midwest cities, including San Francisco and such. To do her job, and she's a Democrat, but she's by no means an activist, and she has very little understanding of Occupy. But her last few trips, she's run into, like, trying to go into her bank and couldn't because it was Occupy in San Francisco. She says, well, you're part of this. What is going on? Are you people nuts? Or what's it? You know, she had no idea because she watches Brian Williams. You know?
Exactly. I mean, even MSNBC, occasionally they seem to get on top of it. But even there, it's rare.
It's very rare, yeah. There's really nobody I would call left over at MSNBC anymore. I hope very clearly. I watch Democracy Now! I don't get Link TV. I watch Democracy Now! Online, but I'm really hoping that Mr. Olbermann is going to find himself another network soon, because he's the only one who was really keeping a pulse on it.
Well, and also, I absolutely love the Young Turks. They do cover it, but there aren't that many people who have access to listening to it.
Well, the Young Turks is on a lot of the current television is actually on a lot of cable systems. I think that many of the Occupy people and such have, from down here and from some of the folks I know at OWS, they're not listening too much to Cenk right now.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, I don't know. I don't know where that's at. I don't watch. I found out that if I just read my news and get it from Hell, I listen to broadcasts of programs like this. I listen to Democracy Now. I check out the different Occupy boards, you know, for news.
Yes.
And, I read I will go to Google News to see what's, you know, the what do you call it, the Bat and Huffington Post to see what's the headlines, because there I can just switch it away if I don't want to look at it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I do most of my reading online, one way or the other. But it is, it's too bad because so much is going on that isn't being reported at all.
That's quite true. So they're in Chicago, they're getting ready to protest the NATO summit, correct?
Correct.
That's why they're there. There's already a National Lawyers Guild there to represent them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they are representing the two young men that I was speaking of, the ones from Occupy Walk.
Okay. So basically they do have some representation, but
yes, they do.
You're of an opinion, you're of a mind that it's definitely they've been, you know, bogusly arrested.
Absolutely. And there are other young people from Occupy Walk that were present when these two were arrested, and they definitely speak up for them and say, under no circumstances did one knock a policeman off his bike or the other one suddenly come into possession of heroin.
Wow, that's pretty serious, you know, and I have no doubt whatsoever that you're absolutely correct. And that's pretty serious. It's pretty serious to see all of the brutality that has taken place by the police departments. I know in Denver, when we had so much action going on before, just at the end of last fall, when the winter was only just settling in, and you remember there were so many events in the Ustream Global Revolution and hookups for all of the different events were going on simultaneously. I remember Denver. Cops said, no, I can't do this, and walked away from their jobs. There were police officers in several other places that said they couldn't do it, and they walked away from it. I don't know if all of them lost their jobs, but there were certainly some that just that were not going to comply with what they were being asked to do.
Well, I would like to think that might happen in Chicago, but I think there's an awful lot. Now, I'm not there, so I don't know this, but I'm hearing that the National Guard's been called in.
Holy.
So they're certainly not going to back down.
Holy shit. Last time
yeah.
the National Guard was called in, good Lord. I mean, you know.
Well, as I said, I'm not there. I can't verify this. And it's getting to be almost impossible to get through to Chicago because they're, like, shutting down cell towers and what have you. But my understanding is that the National Guard is on the way, and there's even things online showing convoys of Hummers going.
You know, all I can think is Kent State, and I don't want to think Kent State.
All I can think of is Chicago 1968, and I don't want to think of that either.
Yeah. It's not good ground. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's not good ground at all. It's a woman who's chief of the Chicago Police Department, right?
I wasn't aware of that. I know that that's true in Oakland, where there's been a lot of problems, but...
No, I'm reading about a woman who is the chief of the Chicago Police Department.
Okay, well, I'm unaware of that.
And she's responsible for keeping them, you know, from being what they've already become here. These are preemptive raids like they did in 2008, before the Republican convention. You remember Amy Goodman got arrested.
Oh, absolutely. There is a good thing that you can listen to that I currently have up on my computer, and that's the Chicago Scanner, and you can listen to the live streaming police calls.
How do you find that online for our listeners?
Okay, it is www.chicagoscanner.com.
That's it.
That's it. And a quote that just came over it was, a policeman asked a dispatcher if the crowd walking was just tourists or those Occupy people.
Wow. So there's real problems going on in Chicago.
Oh, and I think, unfortunately, it's going to get much, much worse. I'm just wondering if they're ever going to report it on mainstream media.
Well, you know, that was what I was alluding to before, Peggy. I mean, people are starting to get uncomfortable with the way the news is presented in this country. The people, everyday people. I do things to bring awareness up, like when I go, I work from home, so I don't get out all that much. Now, that sounds ridiculous. It sounds like I'm isolated. I'm not. But what I'm trying to say is I might not get out every day of the week. And
right.
When I do go to places where I, you know, my regular weekly runs, I wear my Guido, my Guy Fawkes mask backwards, like at the grocery store, because people will see me, and, you know, I'm an old broad, and they look at me like, well, my goodness, you should be telling these young people, you know, to behave themselves kind of thing. They look at me and they say, what is that all about? And it gives me the opportunity to educate people.
I do that, too. And believe me, I'm older than you are. And it was very funny when the Occupy folks were here in April. We did a small, just quiet demonstration on the courthouse lawn, and we were met by a group of Tea Partiers who were simply horrified that I fit in with the Tea Party age group, but I wasn't on their side.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, there was so much blue hair looking at me, and I just looked back at them.
Oh,
but it was pretty funny.
Here in Occupy Palm Beach, our little Occupy group here, we actually had two gentlemen who were World War II vets as part of
our group. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, we have, well, you know, it's Florida, sweetie. You know, I'm right here in Palm Beach County, so we've got on the one side my town, Lake Worth, where Earth First is publishing here this year. And the grad students are pretty much all activists. We actually have an activist center downtown. And it's an old Florida town. It's not like the rest of the, you know, Treasure Coast and all of that. And we're right across the intercoastal from Palm Beach. So it's kind of a strange little nucleus of people here in Lake Worth. It's very activist-oriented, and yet we have all of these and college students, and then we have these older citizens who are totally hip. I mean, you know, the one gentleman, Bill, he's like 86 or what, boy.
Oh, how wonderful.
You can't tell him. You can't tell him anything. He knows exactly, you know. So it's wonderful. And it's another thing, too, to define Occupy, because when I'm talking to people, as I'm sure when you do, I mean, you know, hey, folks are going to want to know that there's more than just young people involved in this.
Well, and I think that's important that we do get that word out. The other thing that concerns me is so many people criticize and say Occupy seems to be, you know, 99% Caucasian. Now, you know, once again, I can in no way prove this, but of the group that of Occupy Walk that came through here, the two young men who have been arrested are both young men of color.
Yeah.
Not the Caucasian one, the Caucasian walkers. So I think that's another thing that's going underreported. There is minority involvement, but as quick as they can, they're getting them, they're locking them up.
It's really quite true. You're quite right. It's basically there are a lot of people of color right here in we have a lot of migrant immigrant workforce in the area, and that we have a couple of Maya who are part of our Occupy group, as well as white college kids and black college kids. There's also brown people in there, and we have yellow folks too. Of course, we are not an area that has a large community on the east side of Native Americans. That isn't because most of the local Native Americans live on the res. It's a nice place to be. They're big gamblers down here.
Well, what's interesting is we have here just in Flagstaff. Now, remember, Flagstaff really is an anachronism in the state of Arizona. We're all hiding here. Everyone who votes liberal is hiding in Flagstaff. But we do have a number of Native Americans here, and quite a bit more than we have any other people of color. In fact, one of the young men that was just arrested there in Chicago is a Native American. I mean, this is just amazing to me that out of all the folks that left and went there, those two were the first that got picked up.
Wow. Well, you know, there are a lot of people, and there's people of all ages. You cannot put the Occupy demographic into an age or even a financial bracket. You really can't. While many are looking for, you know, hurting for cash, there are those too that are not and who are putting as much as they can towards keeping Occupy going in their own areas. I mean, we can't cut off everybody, as, you know, some folks get a little radical and are wont to do. Certainly there's a lot of anger because of the needs, the pressing needs, but there's more. It's well represented, Peggy. I think there are a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life who are part of Occupy. Of course, there are a lot of students in certain areas.
But there's us aging hippies that we're still trying after all these years.
You're quite right about that. Arizona's actually one of my favorite states. I actually like Tucson very much. I love the Gem Show, but the Four Corners is a very sacred place to me. Canyon de Chelly, I love dearly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Gwen, I'm losing power here. I think we better wrap this up. We're going to lose the phone.
Yeah, okay. That's good, because I've only got a few more. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us and getting that information out about the young men who stayed with you. It's good stuff. People learn and grow when they hear this.
Thank you so much. And they Occupy Walk USA, it's a great group.
Good to know. And what are their names? Can you tell?
I think I'll leave that off. Go to Occupy Walk USA on Facebook.
All right. Okay, thank you, Peggy, for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
So that was Peggy Roche. She's out in Flagstaff, Arizona, and she was good enough to call in and say that this is a bogus arrest. So Eyes on Chicago. I gave you the briefings for Occupy Palm Beach first up on the show, and I'm going to conclude with telling you that the Sunday show, our guests are the Artists Collective out of New York, who are doing a 22-mile walk this upcoming week called Occupy the Landscape. Please tune in. They're doing a walk of 22 miles for human rights, each of them carrying a placard of black with white writing that's a right, some different right that we're being denied through all of this hullabaloo right now. And we're looking forward to having them on. That's Jack and I on Sunday, the Sunday show. We'll have Occupy with Art, Occupy the Landscape. And to close up the show today, I do have one last thing to put in here, and that's the tactical briefing number 33, The Globalization of Laughter. I'd like to read it all to you from the Adbuster people. Hey, all you believers in a new world out there, May Day wasn't so great, was it? The numbers were low. The maxims weren't sublime. The excitement didn't catch on. May 12th was a hefty in Europe, reigniting the snuffed indignados, but the energy did not seem to flow over to here. Now we're looking at May 18th, and that's today, through the 21st, when protesters, possibly in Arab Spring numbers, swarm Chicago. Security experts say it will be a challenge the likes of which no American city has had to face. A leaderless, all-consuming, nonviolent swarm. If we can pull it off in the fierce tradition of Gandhi and MLK, the next few days could become the spark, the eruption, the new spiritual home of the spring offensive. And on a softer note, more aesthetic note, the likelihood of a hash mark laugh riot starting May 18th feels especially fresh and new. Imagine the globalization of laughter. Wow, that's really healing, people. Millions of people around the world decide to take a few minutes off from their usual routines, get together with friends, and pull off a global cascade of riotously laughing flash mobs, transforming the flow of power from the heads of the elite to the bellies of the people. Oh, that's a good one. At a time when our human experience is buckling under austerity, financial madness, and ego angst, there is something so ludicrous, bizarre, even insane about the 8 most powerful people in the world trying to conduct the people's business to set things right from behind closed doors and razor wire fences. A global hash mark laugh riot could break through the G8's veneer of legitimacy and expose the Camp David summit and our current capitalistic model for the face that it really is. A global laugh-in could be the relief we've all been waiting for. The moment when, in a communal burst of laughter, we the people suddenly wake up to the fact that the only power our leaders have is the power that we give them. Here goes. Let's laugh like we've never laughed before for the wild culture jammers, HQ. And that was the tactical briefing for this week, number 33. I want to thank Peggy Roach for calling in and spending 20 minutes with us talking about this and telling us that the young people from Occupy the Walk are good folks who stayed with her, and there's no reason that they should be under arrest in Chicago. So let's send energy and keep our eyes focused on Chicago. Now, at 6 o'clock this evening, there's the Wild Wild Left with Diane G on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget to tune her in. I'm not sure who her guest is today, but she always has a damn good show. So tune in, turn on, tune out, what have you. I I want to remind you that we have the Sunday show at 6 p.m. and Occupy the Landscape will be with us. Listen, folks, it's really rough out there. Laughter is the best medicine. It cures everything. Don't give in. Don't give out, and please, family, don't give up. This is Friday Mic Check, Occupy Everywhere with Here Be Monsters. I'm Gwen Berry, and I enjoy the time I spend doing this. Just whether you're hearing it or not, it's getting the energy out there. Thank you, Peggy, for being with us today. And let's keep our green edge on the forefront. I'd like to remind you that, you little doobie-dibby iPhone frick-a-doodle. Well, let me start again. 4 p.m., Fridays, Mic Check on Here Be Monsters with Gwen Berry. You come on out by. Okay? No frick-a-doodles.
And that would be good night, be safe.